Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Continuing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 34. My computer's booting, so I have to fill in some space here. There's Chapter 34 is divided into two leelas, two topics. One, it was already completed, and that's what was the leela? Who can remember?
Deliverance
of Nanda from big serpent. Must have been a big serpent. Big one. Boa constrictor, the translation reads. Krishna delivered him, the Vidyadhara, what was the Vidyadhara's name? Sudarshana. Sudarshana. Very beautiful, Sudarshana. And he went back to Vidyadhara Loka, now being filled with pure devotion to Krishna. Now, he could have asked to go to Krishna's abode or stay right there with Krishna, doing what Krishna, participating with Krishna's pastimes. Commentary says it really wouldn't look good. I have this demigod body and you're in Vrindavan and things are really simple, so it really wouldn't work out if I just stayed here with you. But I can serve you in Vidyadhara Loka by singing your name, and anyone just by singing and hearing the name and fame and qualities and pastimes of Krishna, then they get the same benefit. Sometime after that pastime was completed on the Purnima of the month of Phalgun, same time as Lord Chaitanya's appearance, Gaura Purnima, which is the same time as the holy pastimes, or the pastimes at Horika. Krishna and Balaram were there, and they had, we're going to hear about pastimes that are, kind of resemble the Rasalila. It's not specifically Rasalila, but it's very similar. So we're continuing commentary. This is Jiva Goswami making reference to this particular verse, 10.34.2. Where in Priti Sandarbha, so it's detailing the love of the residents of Vrindavan, and specifically it's the particular love of Krishna and Balaram towards the gopis, the young gopi girls in Braja. Jiva Goswami writes, singing is shown in this example, and it's a reference to Chapter 33, which comes right before 34. It's the Rasalila. During Rasalila, one gopi, joining Mukunda in his singing, sang pure, melodious tones that rose harmoniously above his voice. Krishna was pleased and showed great appreciation for her performance, saying, "Excellent! Excellent!" Another gopi sang in the Dhruva style. Krishna praised her even more. I don't know what dhruva style is, but it's some technical music term. Then, so this is about singing. Once, Govinda and Balaram, the performers of wonderful feats, were playing in the forest at night with the young girls of Braja. And this is from later in this chapter, so it gives a picture of what's coming next. Krishna and Balaram wore flower garlands and spotless garments, and their limbs were beautifully decorated and anointed. The women sang their glories in a charming way, bound to them by affection. This pastime, the Horika festival, was performed in Braja with singing. This is apparently how singing is a part of and stimulates ecstatic love for Krishna. While Krishna, along with his brother Balaram, enjoyed with the women. This festival, understood from Bhavishyotara Purana, even today this activity is celebrated by the people of Aryavarta. Previously, this description is found. That's this verse. It's later in the chapter. The two lords praise the nightfall, signaling by the rising of the moon and the appearance of stars, the lotus-scented breeze and bees intoxicated by the fragrance of jasmine flowers. Paragraph. On the full moon of Phalgun month, after the Hemanta, Shishira, winter and misty seasons, their joy in the moonlight is described. Along with Balaram, filled with the joy of Sakya, the group gathered together. We heard yesterday that during different stages of their being together, brothers, Balaram and Krishna, the younger stage was more just friendship. And later he plays the role of the older brother, the Vatsalya Bhav of Balaram. In the other place, in Priti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami writes, in general, the holy festival is celebrated in this way. Thus, to celebrate the holy festival, Lord Krishna and his brother, Lord Balaram, enjoyed singing and many other pastimes with a host of girls in Braja. This pastime is also described in Bhavishya Purana, Uttarakhanda. Even today, the people of India celebrate the holy festival in this way. And here's Jiva Goswami from Gopal Champu. Balaram returns to Vraja. So this is, the scene is Krishna and Balaram are now in Dwarka. And reference to this is going to be made in this section from Gopal Champu. Balaram wanted Vasudeva and Devaki to give their consent for him and Krishna to go to Braja. They did not get permission for Krishna to go. Thinking a great disaster would result if they allowed him only, with some anger, he spoke to them, "O mother and father, what is the difference between Krishna and me? I am also the child of Nanda and Yashoda." He then informed his brother, "On your request, I avoided going to Braja for a long time, stopping my feet from moving towards the place. Our parents have not given permission for you to go. Therefore, please give me permission to go alone to see the people of Braja." Informing Rohini of everything, Krishna then embraced Balaram and, lamenting his own bad character, spoke with sadness in his face, remembering Nanda and others. First, he spoke about Balaram's herding pastimes and the service of his many friends using joking words, making reference to Bhagavatam 10:15, text 8. Oh, greatest of lords, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal gods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. But above all, you have embraced the young cowherd women between your two arms, a favor hankered after by the goddess of fortune herself. Then Krishna spoke of the Horika pastimes after killing Shankachuda, where shame from the viewpoint of scripture and common custom was overcome. This is described in the Bhagavatam. That's this verse. Once Lord Govind and Lord Rama, the performer of wonderful feats, were playing in the forest at night with the young girls of Vraja. Thus he reminded Balaram of their joyful companionship to extinguish the pain of separation by taking representative joyful events involving singing, joking, and seeing, which produced happiness. After that, he expressed what he wanted. The Creator is against me. And thus you go from Dwarka to Braja alone. You, the elder brother, will bring me to Braja. Your going first will bring me there quickly. Though I have consoled the people of Vraja through the mouth of Uddhava, you must give sweet instructions to Vraja, for you are more attracted to Vraja than I. If you cannot completely satisfy them with your words, then promise them that I will come. If you see that they are still troubled, I will appear there in a spurti, by my power. Spurti means like a mystical sudden appearance of something. If these methods of consolation do not work, do other actions on my request. Namely, accept for yourself those girls who are still quite young. I have eagerly told them to you my name. The gopis on your chest at the Horika festival gave pleasure to your eyes, filled with fresh prema. They have not had their desires fulfilled, for you were not aware of my heart, filled with constant conjugal pastimes in Braja. Oh, do not say, quote, I cannot do this, since all the people of Braja will see. They will fulfill your desires. And I'm going to go on. This is Chaitanya Bhagavat, making reference to this little section. Once, Lord Govinda and Lord Rama, the performer of wonderful feats, were playing holy in the forest at night with the young girls of Braja. So the commentary, this means it's Bhakti Siddhanta. After Sri Shukadeva Goswami narrated to Prikshit Maharaj the Shiva Chaturdasi pastime of Krishna liberating Nanda Maharaj from the clutches of the snake, who was actually the Vidyadhara named Sudarshana, he described Krishna and Balaram's holy festival with the gopis on the full moon evening. Beginning with the above verse, the author now quotes four verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10:34:20-23, describing this pastime paragraph. The word ataha in this verse refers to Shivaratri. The word kadachit refers to the night of Holy Purnima. The word Rama means, quote, he who makes Krishna enjoy. It is therefore understood that since Krishna and Balaram had sported together since their births, they enjoyed mutual feelings of friendship. The mood of friendship between Krishna and Balaram was particularly prominent in Braja, while in Dwarka, Balaram acted more in the role of the elder brother. In this verse, the word cha is used with the desire to establish that Balaram's mood of being the elder brother is secondary. This mood is found in the observance of the holy festival described in the Bhavishya Purana Uttarakhanda and in central India. The word vane refers to the sub-forests of Vrindavan. That is the understanding from Srila Jiva Goswami's Laghu Toshani. It's a celebrated pastime. So our acharyas like writing about it. This is from Murari Gupta's writing. Murari Gupta? You know who's Murari Gupta? In Navadvip, the residence of Murari Gupta is very, very near to the residence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were very intimate associates. He was, by profession, he was a physician, and he was a devotee of Ram, as well as an intimate devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So he wrote about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. He kept a diary, kadachas is the word, and those kadachas of Murari Gupta were used by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami to describe the pastimes in Navadvip. So here's from his Krishna Chaitanya Charita Mahakavya. Glory to the golden moon of Krishna Chaitanya who displays unbounded love, complete joy, and unlimited charm. His eyes forever rove to and fro like bees in search of honey. Glory to the forever blissful Nityananda, who is Balaram himself. His personality is filled with divine sweetness, and intoxicated by Gaura Prema, his form is sublimely personal and peaceful. Paragraph. With his upper pair of hands, Krishna, Gaura Chandra, brandished a bow and arrow. With the middle pair, he held an excellent flute to his broad chest, and the lower pair of hands were held in a very graceful dancing posture. Thus the monarch saw the complete form of Gaurachandra, which was filled with love of Krishna. Paragraph. Having seen that six-armed form of the Lord, Prataparudra Maharaj was reminded of the intense sweetness of Sri Hari and Rama's Rasalila pastimes, and his body became covered by ecstatic eruptions and tears of love. Thus, while dancing, he recited a few auspicious verses describing Krishna and Balaram amidst the gopis, which form the supreme relishable essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. He recited them in an ecstatic, intoxicated mood arising from his own spiritual bliss. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 34, verses 20 through 23. Once Govinda and Rama, the performer of superhuman feats, enjoyed at night in the forest bowers in the company of the milkmaids of Raja. Their glories were charmingly sung by those women folk who were entangled in affection with them. The lords were artfully decorated with ornaments, and their limbs were smeared with the pulp of sandal. They wore flower garlands and spotless garments. The two lords sang, honoring the approach of dusk and the rising of the moon and stars. Their songs delighted the ears and hearts of all living beings, unquote. When all the great souls headed by Sarvabhauma saw their great master, the illustrious son of Sachi, displaying his six-armed form, and Nityananda Ram appearing as Balaram, the son of Rohini, they also became completely decorated by tears and thrill bumps, you know, standing horripilations. Thus, they became overwhelmed and immersed in singing immortal nectarian songs describing the qualities of Sri Krishna. Thus ends the 16th sarga entitled, The Lord Shows Mercy to Pratapa Rudra Maharaj. In the fourth prakrama of the great poem Sri Chaitanya Charita. So there's the title, Sri Chaitanya Charita. And that's the end of text 20. So tomorrow we'll continue text 21. Pretty interesting, huh? Now, the authoritative texts, commonly accepted authoritative texts of Chaitanya Charitamrita, then in turn Chaitanya Bhagavat, do not describe Mariagupta seeing the six-armed form. In Chaitanya Bhagavat, it says it showed the six-armed form. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it showed the Radha-Krishna form. But when you visit the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and our paintings, ISKCON BBT paintings, show the six-armed form sometimes, and sometimes the Radha-Krishna form with Lord Chaitanya in the background. He showed his divinity, in any case. And when, of course, according to Sri Chaitanya Charita, when Mariagupta when King Prataparudra saw the six-armed form, he began reciting verses from the Bhagavatam, and specifically reciting these verses. So I've been visiting homes and conducting these classes, I've asked the young devotees present, what's your favorite pastime of Krishna? What's your favorite pastime of Krishna? Nalaka Viramani Griva. Okay, great. Connected with the Damodar Lila, or just how he dealt with those two? Okay. But I haven't heard anybody say this one. You know, Krishna and Balaram performing this pastime during Holi, or the full moon of Phalgun. And then, because comes after that is the Shankarchuda story. But celebrated, certainly amongst the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mariagupta being one of the celebrated devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only knew the pastimes, but recited the pastimes. I mean, Gaura Lila and Srimad Bhagavatam are a perfect fit, and the people involved in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gaura Lila They knew the Bhagavatam, they knew the verses, they knew at least knew some of the verses. A nice example of that is Gadadhar, when he brought when Gadadhar Pandit was brought to first meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi, his friend Mukunda, right, brought Gadadhar to meet him, and Mukunda was a noted singer, and he just began singing a verse from the Bhagavatam. Nice song to sing, a verse from the Bhagavatam. A little different than modern songs, but singing a verse from the Bhagavatam. So he knew. Or Prataparudra, when he was massaging the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the resting period at the Rath Yatra, he was reciting verses from the Bhagavatam. So the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and other examples, the devotees of Lord Chaitanya are certainly knowledgeable of the Bhagavatam text enough to sing and recite and call to memory verses from the Bhagavatam. That's not specifically something that Prabhupada gave so much emphasis to. He spoke about reciting verses in different ways, but you know, perhaps that's like a Krishna consciousness or Bhakti Yoga 101. And as one becomes more immersed in Bhakti Yoga 102 or 201, then one may particularly relish certain verses of the Bhagavatam. Prabhupada certainly had his favorites. And at least for the purpose of what he was doing, there were verses that would speak about the importance of bhakti, the importance of hearing and chanting and so forth. And he would recite them again and again. They were, in other words, instructive to help people go from being covered to becoming awake to the object and goal of life and the means to achieve it. And then other devotees, not that Prabhupada didn't know, I'll tell a little story. See if I can remember his name. Yeah. In New York, there was a doctor, Dr. Roy Chaudhry, Sukamal Roy Chaudhry. And he wouldn't like brag about it, but he shared on occasion in private conversations when he was still a young man, he would visit Mayapur, and there was no ISKCON temple at the time. This is when Prabhupada was a householder. And there was Madhava Maharaja's temple, the place where Lord Chaitanya, anyway, it's near the ISKCON Center, the present ISKCON Center. There's like a mandap, roof enclosed, open air area where Sangha could be held. And Prabhupada would go to visit in Mayapur. He didn't say where he was living, but he would go to visit in Mayapur and associate with Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples. And so they would sit in that mandap and have discussed Krishna Katha. And Dr. Roy Chaudhry said he was particularly profoundly impressed with how knowledgeable Prabhupada was and how much relish Prabhupada had in discussing all kinds of topics from the Srimad Bhagavatam, in particular Gaura Lila, but particularly Srimad Bhagavatam. So even as a householder, he had profound understanding and attraction and speaking ability about the depths of Krishna Bhakti and Krishna Lila. So it's something, what we're doing is, you know, we're newer devotees, and sometimes some devotees, there's been a little feedback, you know, this is like way over my head, which is okay. To hear something that's way over your head means I'm way down here, and there's this tattva that's our acharyas are immersed in, and that's here. And I'll just sit and peacefully assimilate that sound vibration as much as I can. And katayanta shamam nityam tushanti charamanti cha. Devotees like. Even if it's not technical, like, you know, Sankhya philosophy or Vedic cosmology or something that's really technical, difficult in that sense to understand. This is just really high. But the sound vibration is purifying, and through our acharya's hearing can help elevate us. And our founder acharya, Srila Prabhupada, had that inclination too. It's an inclination to want to understand Krishna and Krishna tattva. Because by understanding Krishna and Krishna tattva, there's a price you have to pay, the price of bhakti. But when you understand Purnar Janma Na, you break the cycle of birth and death. And go to Krishna. So we're engaging in the process with, it's Krishna's elevated, the most elevated section of this most elevated literature, this 10th canto, but made accessible to us by Shukadeva Goswami, and where there are Bhaktivedanta purports. Of course, this later section, it's Prabhupada's followers, but appreciating and relishing, and to whatever capacity we have, try to understand Krishna and his affection and loving exchanges. Very attractive. Most attractive. Let's see if there's some discussion. Anyone in the room?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, the Krishna's covered friends, the gopas, I mean, Krishna's
covered friends, boyfriends, yeah. Friends.
So, I mean, some of them are like Nitya Siddhas, they came here to accompany Krishna.
Yes.
Some of them are maybe sadhana bhaktas, and they would have performed a lot of fast, I mean.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
In relation to that, I mean, the Krishna's parents, I mean, yesterday evening class, I think the three births, and three times that he will become Krishna's parents.
Yeah.
So how to understand that? Because they're like Yashoda, and they're eternal parents of, I mean, Goloka also. So coming here and becoming Krishna's parents, getting that benediction to become Krishna's parents three times.
Okay. I'll repeat something that we heard earlier. I was a little puzzled by this also. But the commentary explains, and there's commentary makes reference to scriptures that explain. Vasudeva and Devaki are also Nitya Siddhas. They're in Krishna Loka, in Mathura. Nanda and Yashoda are eternal associates in Braja, engaged in eternal pastimes with Krishna. And they, Vasudeva and Devaki, have their expansions, as Nanda and Yashoda have their expansions. It's a mystery, but Drona and Dara we heard. So Vasudeva and Devaki have their expansions in the heavenly realm, partial expansions, angsas. And that's Kashyapa and Aditi in the heavenly realm. And when it's time for Krishna's appearance, when Brahma gives his instruction, take birth on earth to assist, they, Kashyapa and Aditi, make partial expansions of themselves and enter into the body of Vasudeva and Devaki. So they're actually eternal associates, and Krishna's speaking in the prison house of Kamsa without giving all this detail. They're eternal associates. Now, to stitch the previous two lifetimes together with the Vasudeva and Devaki lifetime, they're in the spiritual, there's some connection between, they're in the spiritual world eternally with Krishna, but they have this pastime, they give birth to Krishna, but they don't enjoy his braja pastimes. Now there's, I can't explain more than that. That is to say, in the 1,000 yuga cycles in the day of Brahma, only one of them does Krishna go to Braja, which means there's 999 other where Krishna doesn't go to Braja. He appears as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, which means he has, likely, I've not read or heard, likely he had childhood pastimes in Braja, in Mathura. No understanding of those things because there's no texts that I'm aware of that give that information. But that's your specific question, is how to understand the three lifetimes. So again and again and again, in comparison to Nanda and Yashoda, who didn't undergo any austerities, and Vasudeva and Devaki, who did undergo austerities, according to Krishna's own words, in previous lifetimes. So that puts them in a category that's, their love is natural, not attained. It doesn't, you know, it's not to say that Vasudeva and Devaki in the Boma Lila are identical. I mean, their mood is, did they undergo austerities in Mathura? No indication. But in this worldly pastime, it's part of the pastime. They undergo austerities. Borrowing Prabhupada's words, it takes a little intelligence to understand these things. And it's very refined intelligence that Krishna is performing pastimes where he's honoring the Vrijvasis, and in particular, in this case, Nanda and Yasoda, in a very special way. And he's honoring Vasudeva and Devaki in a different way. In the way that, you know, in three lifetimes ago, you underwent austerities. And so it's not the same. The mood in Mathura is not the same as the mood in Braja. Does that take care of it? Anyone else here?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. My question is, Devaki and Vasudeva, they are Nityasiddhas, and also they did a lot of austerities in their previous life. But still, in that life, they went through a lot of pain. They were in the jail for so many years. So did they do any
bad stuff?
Bad karma in their previous life?
No.
Then why did they suffer so much?
Well, you know, your idea of suffering and their idea of suffering may not be the same. Meaning, who suffered more? Nanda and Yasoda or Vasudeva and Devaki?
Both in a way.
Because when Krishna left Vrindavan, they were devastated. And then Krishna returned to Mathura when he was 12. And then they were with Krishna in Mathura, and then they were with Krishna in Dwarka for the rest of his 125 years. So did Nanda and Yasoda do some bad karma? Or did Vasudeva and Devaki? And if the answer is no, then why did they have to suffer that way? Why did the Queen Kunti and the Pandavas have to suffer the way they did? Why did Sita have to suffer the way she did? Etc. You know, that this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Rupa Goswami. What looks to us like suffering is an ecstasy. It's not like we get put in jail and that's like suffering. Or Mahatma Gandhi gets put in jail and it's suffering. He became a hero. In jail. Anyway. It increased their meditation upon Krishna. And when there was again meeting, oh, separation, the English expression is absence makes the heart grow fonder. You've heard that one, right? So, similarly, that's the worldly experience, and then there's the transcendental experience.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, I think we're ready for the online questions. Can you take that microphone?
So this is from Sanjay Prabhu. Can you please shed some light on Holika festival mentioned here? I see some temples celebrating it with fire.
She asked a question. You can ask her for the answer. Shatarupa asked that question yesterday. Go ahead.
This is from Shravan Prabhu. At what age of Balaram the mood of elder brother manifests as primary?
I only know what the Acharyas write. What the Acharyas write is when they moved to Mathura, it shifted. And certainly in Dwarka, it shifted further. From friend to elder brother.
This is from Balaram Prasad Prabhu. Lord Shiva is greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Why we don't celebrate Shivaratri festival?
It's in our Vaishnav calendar, and one of the reasons that we don't make a big deal about Shivaratri is we following our founder Acharya, he didn't make a big deal about Shivaratri. But there are some temples in ISKCON that celebrate it in a grand way. And they're very specific about doing it in such a way that it's in honoring Lord Shiva, we're honoring the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So many people, part of the reason for not, is many people when they worship Lord Shiva or Ganesh, they do so with a material expectation. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, persons, kaimais taista ritaganya prapadyante anyadevata. Persons worship the devas because of kama, and this strong desire to achieve something material. So even we may make it known, people will still carry their, you know, the tradition, the impressions from how they grew up where you approach Lord Shiva to get stuff and Ganesh to get stuff, the obstacles to get stuff. So, therefore there's not great emphasis. But in some places they don't, it's not like Krishna Janmashtami. But it's a substantial festival in some places. Depends. And some really like just following the mood that Prabhupada gave. It's honored, it's on a Vaishnava calendar, and we honor, like we honor the appearance day of Lord Varaha or Matsya or Kurma or something, and we honor those in a similar way. Okay. That's it.
It's a question from Radha. It's an unrelated, but if the time permits.
Which Radha is this?
Atulya Mataji's daughter.
Okay.
When Hiranyakasipu received boons from Lord Brahma, it's mentioned in 7.4.13 that he worshipped Lord Vishnu. Hiranyakasipu along with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. So how to understand this, especially Lord Vishnu worshipping Hiranyakasipu? It's confusing. How to understand that Lord Vishnu worshipping Hiranyakasipu?
I think I have to look at the verse, and can you ask this question tomorrow morning? And I'll look at the verse between now and tomorrow morning. There's more?
It was a question from Gopinath. He was asking, what is your favorite pastime of Krishna?
I'll tell you later. Srila Prabhupada ki.